Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 11. Hallelujah. Isn't our God good? All the time. He is good. He is good. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. My God. So much have already taken place in the house of the Lord. So much has already taken place, and we're thankful and grateful to the Lord thy God that how he moves in the midst of us, his people. And it should be such a joy for us that when we come to the house of the Lord, to know that he cares for us, that he shows up, amen, not only in us, but he's here to meet us, amen, yeah, and to greet us. Thank you, God. And to move in the midst of us, his people. What an honor and a joy it is to come to the house of the Lord and know that the presence of the Lord is in the house. Amen. It's in the house. Amen. I greet each of you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. He's going to take us a little further. Somebody say a little further and a little deeper in him this day. Amen. You know, what I like about the worship, even the atmosphere, everything that has taken place has brought us to this place to receive his word. And I thank God, as Pastor Angela was even talking about, how prayer is a form of worship, and how the prayer of the minister at the beginning of the service ushered her in to be able to say that what the Lord would have her to say in means of greeting the people and encouraging the body. And it's the same thing with worship. Worship ushers us in to a place. It moves us into another dimension. I was talking to the praise and worship team on a Friday evening, encouraging them in the things of the Lord. And one of the things that we understood, that there is a difference between praise and worship. Amen. I want you to understand, everybody can praise them, amen, but everybody can't give them worship. Well, what you talking about? Everybody can't give him worship. The Bible says they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The Bible says let everything that have breath praise the Lord. So everything has the ability to praise him. You need to understand this. But can't everything, see, worship him? Amen. Hallelujah. See, because, pray. You can be away from God and give him a praise. You can do praise from a distance, but you cannot be distant from God and give him worship. Amen. Hallelujah. So praise prepares us, even as Minister Twyman said this morning, that how we're going to start out in the praise, but we don't end up in praise. You hear what I'm saying? We start out in praise and we enter into worship. Amen. So praise prepares our hearts. Amen. Praise is demonstrative. Amen. It's out. You know when folks are praising, they got their hands up. They got the mouth loud. They'll run around, whatever they need to do. That's praise. Amen. That's what praise is. You study that out. Halal, it's a outward type of thing. Amen. But worship is an inward thing. Worship works when you get into work. See, praise, you can see what's going on around you and everybody doing their thing in praise. But worship begins to internalize. Amen. You're not caring about who on the left or on the right. You're trying to enter in for you and God now to heal you and to set you free. You know what I'm saying? So this is why you don't want to stay on the outer courts. And you always want to enter in to the Holy of Holies. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. There's the outer court, there's the holy place, and then there's what? The Holy of Holies. And we want to get into the Holy of Holies. Amen. I don't know where I'm going there, but we're going here. Amen. I'm going to give you an example of this, and bear with me, praise and worship team. Y'all heard this on Friday. Amen. But here go an example of it here. Do you remember in the Old Testament, God used the priest. Somebody say the priest. God used the priest once a year to go into the Holy of Holies, amen, on behalf of what? The sins of the people. Somebody say the sins of the people. He takes the sacrifice, amen, the offering, and he brings it before God. Now, before this time happens, that priest is identified. You're going to be the one. That's what, you know, they already identify who the priest is going to be. And the priests themselves, they prepare themselves. They go into fasting and praying because they know they're getting ready to go stand before a holy God. And I'm here to tell you that if you're going to enter into the Holy of Holies, you got to be holy. to go into a holy place and stand before a holy God. So one of the things that they done unto the priest was they put on his garments. One of the things that they did, they put bells on there. Amen. So they can hear him, that he's still moving around in there. Shing, 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 shing. And then they put a rope on him. Amen. They put a rope on his leg. They put a rope on him just in case he wasn't holy, because he was going to die in the presence of God if he wasn't holy. They would have heard bells ring, and then they would have pulled them out. Amen. You hear what I'm saying? With the rope. That's what that was all about. And so he had to go in there. The holy man of God, the priest of God, had to go in there. This is much like worship. Everybody can praise, because think about this. When he went into the Holy of Holies on behalf of the people, guess where the people were at? They were on the outside. They out there praising. They out there singing and dancing and doing whatever they do. But none of them, but the priest could enter into the Holy of Holies. You hear what I'm saying? Because he was set aside. He prayed and he sought God, and he had to be holy to bring in a sacrifice, amen, before the Lord thy God, and come on behalf of the sins of the people. Can we get an amen? Now, in the New Testament, amen, what took place was Jesus was that sacrifice. He is our high priest according to Hebrews chapter 3. He is our apostle and high priest, amen, over our confession or our profession, amen. And the Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, and it's who? The man, amen, Christ Jesus. Now, because of Jesus, when we get saved and we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we now have the ability to go unto God, amen. But you can't go in there dirty. You got to go in there holy. Now, the Bible teaches us that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, amen, one of the things that happened, it says that the particular cloth, the veil, amen, the veil was ripped, amen, from the bottom to the top at that particular time. And at that time, through Jesus Christ, that we now as mankind can now enter in and talk to God for ourselves, amen. Aren't you glad that the priest, you ain't got to wait on the priest to go once a year? You can go talk to him daily. You can go talk to him how often you want to talk to him. Amen. I'm telling you, that's a blessing to that. And so what I'm encouraging you is thank God for our praise. But all of us, our heart's desire is, Lord, we want to be able to enter into worship together as a people. That we want to be able to enter into worship. And I'm telling you this day, today, the atmosphere was even set through the evangelist, Sister Nene, amen? The evangelist, amen? She declared the spirit of the evangelist was up on her even through her singing. When you got the gift on you, the gift gonna work in whatever you do. And so in the singing, the evangelist gathers. And so through the singing of that psalm and the evangelistic anointing, it gathered the people together and say, let's get ready, because we get ready to go into the Holy of Holies. Amen. See, the first song was that of a praise song. It got us to going. It got us, hey, glory, amen, hallelujah. My God reigns. See, you say, now I'm talking about my God, and my God reigns. Amen. So the same God that reigns is the God I want to be in. Intimate with. You know what I'm saying? So there's a saying for you to say that my God reigns and I can't even be intimate with him. A lot of folks saying God is reigning, but not a lot of folks, amen, living with him are holy. And so what I'm saying is thank God we can praise him. But man, your desire wants to be, I want to get into that holy of holies. I want to come into that place. I want to come from the outer court into the holy place, until the holy of holies is where I want to be. Amen. And when you get there, you don't even want to come out. You know what I'm saying? You don't even want to come out. It's just you and him locked in. Amen. Can I stay here, Lord? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But you got to come out to go to work. Amen. You got to come out and deal with that marriage. Amen. Got to come out and deal with them children. Amen. You got to come out. Amen. Come out wherever you are. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. What a sweet place to be, though, is in the presence of our God. And so we want to be people that praise God, and we also want to be people that worship God. We don't want to be the people, amen, just saying, wow, they look like they went in and we're standing on the outside. Amen. Hallelujah. It's the condition of our heart that allows us to go in into the Holy of Holy. Amen. This atmosphere and everything that was has thus taken place prepares us for the word that the Lord would have us to move in today. Are you at Ephesians chapter 4? Look at verse 11 and verse 12. We've been here. We just started in this last week. We started a series of messages called The Equipping of the Saints, or Equipping the Saints. And it reads in verse 11, it says, and he gave, somebody say Jesus. It says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors for the perfecting of the saints. Somebody say, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Last week, we spoke from the subject of embrace the gifts. Today, I want to speak from the subject of embrace the work. Somebody say, embrace the work. Embrace the work. I'm here to tell you that the work is going to be something that you're probably thinking of different. It's going to be different than probably what you're thinking about. See, in order to do the work, you got to allow him to work on you. And this is why he gives the fivefold ministry, to equip the saints. The Bible said, the King James here says, for the perfecting of the saints. And that word perfecting means to complete, or the furnishing, to make fully ready. The NIV says to prepare God's people. The New Living Translation and the New American Standard also says to deals with the equipping of God's people. And so we're talking about the equipping of the saints. And what we, just a small passing review, what we learned on last week and the whole antithesis or the whole foundation of what we're teaching on, it deals with where we're being. We talked about soul winning. And I know somebody said, well, Pastor, I know we're talking about going when we're going. Amen. There's an appointed season. You got to get ready to go. Amen. And I'm teaching now, and what I'm teaching and what I'm getting ready to teach is showing you that you got to, when you go, it takes holy people to do a holy work. Yeah. It takes holy. I ain't talking about just holy in your mind, but holy in your whole complete body. H-O-L-Y. It takes holy people to do a holy work. And we're going to see this today. But one of the things we've been talking about in the last series, we talked about soul winners. That it is our desire, amen, he's raising up an army, amen. Sister Nene and even the praise and worship team, as you were singing that, he's raising up an army in this last time. And the question of it is, have you already signed your card, your draft card? Have you already signed up? Are you going to be a part of that army that he's raising up? Amen. In this hour and this time to go win souls for him. Amen. And if you are a Christian, you look and you are saved, you already done signed your draft card. You hear what I'm saying? So when you sign your draft card, that means that at any time that the person, amen, that oversees the army is ready to use you, he would draft you at that particular time. And so what I'm saying unto us as soul winners, that we must have our lives prepared to go and to do what God calls us to do when he calls our number. Amen. When he says, it's time for you to go do this, time for you to go do that. No matter what you're already doing, he can call you to a special assignment at any time. See, the military called them special forces. Or they call them see, they're part of the regular army. You hear what I'm saying? They're just like every other soldier, but they got additional training to be special forces. Or they got what they call the Delta Force. The Delta Force don't even wear a uniform. They wear civilian clothes. They blend in. They got beards. They got what? Half of the people that's over in Afghanistan look like folks that live in Afghanistan, although they are United States soldiers. You hear what I'm saying? I'm here to tell you that they're becoming all things. This is why Paul said, I become all things, amen, to all people that I might what? Win some. And this is the same way in the army, amen. Some of us might be just regular ground troops, you know what I mean? We have different roles in the Lord's army, but some of us are special forces. Amen. Some of us are rangers, and we got all these particular things. Some of us now here of the fivefold ministry, this fivefold ministry was given to equip the saints. Somebody say equip the saints. Equip the saints. See, first of all, we go as soul winners, we go win the saints. Somebody say win the loss. So you got the win the loss. Once the lost get saved, they become saints. Somebody say saints. Then the saints got to be equipped. Now listen to this now. See, there is no equipping of someone that is not a saint. Now let's look at this. He says, now he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of who? Of the who? Of the who? Oh, I need to hear everybody say that. Of the who? Okay, I want you to understand that. So he ain't perfecting the ain'ts. You can go try to perfect somebody all you want to, and if they don't know the Lord thy God, he don't want you to waste your time trying to perfect those that do not receive him as his Lord and Savior. Now, you ain't trying to perfect them. You might be trying to get them saved, and all they need to hear is the gospel, the good news that he came, died, and rose again. If you're sharing anything outside of that, you're trying to go deep with them, and they're not even saved, you're wasting your time. He says he come to perfect the saints. Now, this word saint takes on the connotation of being pure and holy. Oh, my God. to be pure and to be holy. A holy thing or a holy one, a consecrated thing. That's the saint. Do you hear all the noise that they're talking about? Pope John Paul the second or whatever, that how when he died and for some, we're going to try to move him into sainthood. You know, in the Catholic Church, this sainthood was something big. And don't every pope go into the sainthood. You know what I'm saying? But Pope John Paul was such a special pope. You know what I'm saying? That they're moving fast. They even try to change the laws to get him to become a saint before the required time. Now, you need to hear this, but when you get saved, when you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become a what? A saint. You become a saint. But then he give the fivefold ministry. Now, he said, not so you become one, but now you got to walk the thing out. You got to complete it. You got to be perfected in it. Amen. It's already yours. How did I become a saint? Through the grace of God. It was through the grace of God that you became the saint. So it's through the grace. It's by the grace of God through faith. Amen. And I've always taught in this house, faith picks up what grace gives unto me. So I became a saint or a Christian, amen, through the grace of God. I mean, by the grace of God through faith. Through my faith, I believed, amen, and I received that which God freely gave unto me, and it was salvation through the grace of God. So if you are saved today, say, I am a saint. Amen. I am a saint. Amen. See, this is why I've been declaring about March gladness. March gladness was all about, I'm glad that I'm saved. You hear what I'm saying? I mean, yeah, I'm going to be excited. See, a lot of folks are excited about basketball during this time of the year. Amen. And the NCAA. And I understand that. You like basketball. It's okay to have those recreational things. But what I'm here to say is that just like you are excited about basketball, you got to be excited about Jesus. So I call it, instead of March Madness, I call it March Gladness. David said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. So not only am I glad to be saved, I'm glad to be at church today. Oh, my God. I couldn't wait to get here. You hear what I'm saying? I couldn't wait to get here because I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be saved. Amen. And to be sanctified and set apart. I'm glad about that. I'm glad that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. I am glad about it. And if you're glad about it, look. See, the folks that's glad about their team this time of the year, they got the colors on. They got the jersey on. They got the guy's name on the back. Amen. And us men, we heard so long ago, Dr. Tony Evans was talking about this to us men. It says that we worship. It's amazing what we worship. We worship people so much that we'll put their name on our back. You know what I'm saying? We'll put that jersey on because we want to always be like somebody famous. See, but the Lord thy God didn't call us to be famous. He called us to be faithful. Right. Hallelujah. And I proclaim in Jesus Christ is my Lord. That's who I'm rooting for. I'm rooting for him every day. I'm glad I'm on his team. I'm glad I'm in his army. Amen. And I'm going to be glad about it. I'm going to shout it from the rooftop. I'm going to be glad. I'm going to tell people that I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. So we see here that the Lord thy God, that he, through the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Ephesian church here. He's telling them now, he said, now you've been saved and you got saved through grace. But now that you have been saved and now you understand that Jesus Christ, through the grace of God, these are also grace gifts. Through the grace of God, but he didn't give them to all. He gave them to some. And the Bible says he gave some what? Some apostles. We dealt with this. The apostle last week, this is the fivefold ministry, is one of the names that we call them. Well, we call them the ascension gifts because it says when he went up, he gave gifts unto men. When he ascended, he gave gifts unto men. So we understand that. So those that have been here, you understand this already. So he gave these five gifts, amen, for the perfecting of the saints. Say, for the perfecting of the saints. Amen. It's to prepare us as a people, amen, to fulfill the assignment that God has upon our life in the earth realm. Amen. Now, he gave the apostle. Somebody say the apostle is the one that governs. He governs. Say governs. Okay, we understand that. And we learned last week that he pioneers, he establishes, or he or she, and they lay the foundation. That's what the apostle does. And then we learned that the second person in the fivefold ministry was who? The prophet. We said the prophet. The prophet say guide. So the prophet is the one that guides us. Not only do they exhort us, the Lord showed me in this particular way that they not only direct us or guide us, they direct us and they also correct us. Somebody say direct and correct. This is the prophet. Amen. Talked about how the prophet, most folks see from the ground up. All of us have a spirit of discernment if we're children of God. You know what I'm saying? He's not going to have you to walk in darkness. Amen. But you are in the everlasting light. Amen. The eyes of your understanding has been opened up. So God's not going to keep you in the dark. Amen. But the prophet can see from the ground down. You know what I'm saying? The prophet can see things that other people cannot see. And we need to have those type of people in our life because there are some things in your life that you might can't see that the prophet can see. See that prophetic word that I gave. See, I seen that. Amen. I see it and I sense it from the spirit of the living God. And I declare what he said, declare, because there was someone letting hurt rule their life. And because they were hurting, they're harming other people and they're harassing other people because that's the fruit of being hurt. But God said, nah, I will raise up the prophet to tell you to believe and receive that it is my desire for you to be set free. And then you got to believe and receive that, amen, from the prophetic utterance that had come forth. Now, you can go home and scratch that itch again if you want to. But God said, nah, I have released the prophetic word. And if that is you, this is your day to be healed, delivered, and set free. To receive it, amen. And so then we talked about the evangelist. That's the middle finger that sticks out, amen, amongst all of them. We said the evangelist, say, gathers. So the evangelists, they gather. And what's interesting about the evangelists, they evangelize the lost. But this is interesting. But they encourage the saints. they evangelize the lost, but they come up here and they encourage the saints to do what? To win souls. They continue to encourage us, amen, to be soul winners. That's what they encourage. But see, they evangelize those that are away from God. But in here, they encourage us. See, this is why the evangelists may do. This is what evangelists get it messed up sometimes. Sometimes the evangelists say, well, I don't need to be a part of a church because I'm an evangelist. I do the outside work. Yeah. You do need to do that. But you also need to be connected to the local church. I thank God for you, Nene. Amen. I thank God for you. And you're not the only evangelist that's in this house. But what I'm saying is that those that know their calling and their gifting, and they say, but no, I'm staying close to the local church. Amen. And see, in that time and in that season, I'm going to lay hands and set apart and say, you are not only the evangelist out there, but you're the set evangelist in this house. Oh my God, you need to know something. But you just don't do that when you recognize the gift. There's a timing in this thing. There's a seasoning in it. You're not on their clock, your clock. You on God's clock. You hear what I'm saying? And God will say, now it's time to set aside the person in the house. Everybody know their sin. Everybody know what they're putting on. See, this is why you got to, see, you can call yourself whatever you want to call you. But the sheep know other sheep. And all of us put off a smell. We all as sheep have gone astray. Amen. All of us have gone astray. So we got a scent on us. And see, but your scent got to be the scent. Your scent got to be that you have been sent. Oh, my God. Your S-C-E-N-T got to be that you've been S-E-N-T. You know what I'm saying? Your scent got to be putting off that you have been sent and you ain't called yourself to a such a situation and a certain thing. Oh, yeah, I know what, Pastor, but I done this and I done this and I done that. See, you got the work mentality. And I'm getting ready to say, somebody say, embrace the work. I'm going to show you today that the work that you're thinking about is not the work that he's talking about. Oh, my God. Amen. Somebody said, go ahead on, Pastor. Bring it. Amen. We get ready to go there. The pastor guards, say the pastor guards. See, he feeds and he leads and he protects the sheep. That's the role of the pastor. And then someone say the last one is the teacher. Say the teacher. The teacher is the one that they help allow the word of God. They interpret and they also expound on the word of God. Somebody say interpret and expound. See, they ground us, amen. They interpret and expound the word of God that it may become practical for our lives. That the teacher can teach it to such a degree that you can say, I see that right there. I can receive that. I can chew on that. I can walk that out for my life. See, that's a teacher. And see, every one of these fivefold ministry gifts should have the ability to teach, amen. Should have the ability to teach. So he said he gave these to some. For what? For the perfecting, for the equipping, amen, of the saints, the holy one, the pure one, the moral one, the consecrated one, amen. He gave them so that he appointed them that there could be order in everything and also in everyone in the church, amen. Say that there may be order. I would say he gave the fivefold ministry that there may be order in everyone and in everything. Within the church. Oh, my God. Everyone and everything. That's what he gave. That's what he gave it for. And I said last week, we're not getting into that. That's why he gave parents to children. That's why he gives CEOs to companies and their staffs. That's why he gives boss, amen, to servants. That's why he give all of this. So that if it's in your company, that there would be order in the people in the company and there would be order in the organization of the company. You hear this? This thing, what I'm saying unto you, I'm trying to bring it and teach it in a way that as you can see it out there, you can understand it also in here. And so that's why I don't understand that people can work on jobs and they can submit to leadership out there. Amen. You hear what I'm saying? They can do all that. But when it comes to the house of the Lord, ain't nobody telling me to do anything. Oh, come on. What in the world wrong with you? You deceive. Somebody else telling you to do everything. On that job, you ain't running around there like that. And if you are, you won't be there long. And if they're putting up with you with that attitude, there's something wrong with the order of the house. There's a weak leader. Amen. There's weak leadership. Yeah, I ain't going to get it. I see it on my eye. I'm telling you. It's weak leadership that allow people just to act any old way they want to act. Amen. So the fivefold ministry, they bring order to the people of the house and order also to the house itself. So this is why we need the fivefold ministry so we can all grow up and mature in the things of God that we may first and foremost, amen, somebody say embrace the work. So it's to do the work of the ministry, to do the work, amen, that God has in the ministry. Now, I want to enlighten you on something. The work that God has in the ministry is a holy work. It's a holy, somebody say a holy work. This just ain't like work on your job. This ain't just like, you know, I'm ready. I've been to school and I. This is a different type of work. This is a holy work. See, it's not how you relate it to the leadership. It has everything to be with how you're related to God. Amen. And to his son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that you've allowed the Holy Spirit to come into your life to lead you and to guide you and to direct you. So this ain't about getting good with man. This is about being right with God. Amen. Hallelujah. This is what this is about. It's being brought right on. Now, I said last week, just as you can have the fivefold ministry, you can have a false apostle, you can have a false prophet, you can have a false evangelist, you can have a false pastor and a false teacher. Amen. You got to understand that. Amen. That there is another side to the things of God. And you got to make sure that you're going to be walking into the truth of God and you're not going to walk into the lie. Amen. Hallelujah. And this is what your pastor does for you. Now, I want you to understand this. I'm going to show you how dependent all of us are on the fivefold ministry. How many of you look at Joyce Myers? Raise your hands up. That's okay. Amen. All right. Amen. How many of you look at T.D. Jakes? Okay. Amen. 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 Praise God. So how many of you look at Joel Osteen? Amen. What's my brother over in Singapore? How many of you look at Joseph Prince? Okay. Okay. What I'm saying unto you, all of us need the fivefold ministry speaking in our lives. That's why you just ain't listening to your pastor. You listen to other people too. Why? Because they're helping to develop you and to bring you, amen, into the fullness of who you are. You know what I'm saying? And so some of us are listening to different people. Amen. And it doesn't matter as long as they are people of God. You know what I'm saying? And you're listening to them and they're helping to shape you and develop you because you need these giftings in your life. Amen. Our sister, amen. Joyce Myers is an evangelist all day long, but not only is she an evangelist, don't keep her in the box. She's a prophetess as well. You hear what I'm saying? She tell it just like it is. She hits you right between your eye. See, some of you can't take that all the time. So you turn into her periodically. So you can't sit up under her every day. Amen. Beating you and spanking you all day. Now, you couldn't handle that. You say, well, I need me a dose of her. I can handle her once a week. Amen. But what I'm saying it to, but you need it. You need it. We all need these times of ministries in our lives so what's happening is this fivefold ministry gifts are all equipping us. They are equipping us that we may do the work of the ministry, the work of the ministry. Turn with me, please. We're going to talk about embrace the work. You in the book of Ephesians, go to Ephesians 2 verse 10. Ephesians 2 verse 10. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2, verse 10. They don't even put the clock back up there anymore. God, they say, Pastor, you don't even pay no attention to the clock. Amen. 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 I'm going to get better, guys, back there. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I know. I'm going to get better. Amen. Amen. That's what I'm trying to do. Go preach this word, y'all. Ephesians chapter 2. I want you to see this. I was going to start in verse 10, but I want to start in verse 1. It says, and you have he quickened. Somebody say, made alive. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. You hear that? Yeah. See, before you came to the Lord, you were dead in your trespasses and your sin. Amen? You were dead in your trespasses. You know what trespass mean, right? If there's something that's set up so you ain't supposed to go beyond that and you go beyond it, you what? You trespass. Amen? So before you were made alive, it says he quickened you. Who quickened you? God made you alive. It says, and you have he quickened who were, say were dead. And this is how you were dead. You were dead in your trespasses and also your sin. Amen. In your error, you sideslipped, you've deviated, amen, away from the truth. And your sins, your offenses, your sin, you missed the mark. And so before you came to Christ, you were dead in your offenses and also in your sins and also your trespasses. Now look at verse 2. Wherein in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world. Say, I walked according to the course of this world. See, this is what you must understand. I'm going to take you somewhere here. See, before you got saved, you walked according to the course of this world. You were dead in your trespasses and your sin, and you were living a sinful life. Say, I had a sinful walk, a sinful behavior. I was living according to the world. Amen. See, but now you got saved. You hear what I'm saying? So, see what you got to understand. So your walk was your work. I walked according to a certain way. And the Bible talks about you were then the children of disobedience. We're going to see that here now. But then you get saved and you get taken out of the enemy's camp. And now you place amen into God's kingdom. Amen. And then you become a saint. See, but you got to understand this. You can't be a saint walking according to the ways of the world. You done got into another dimension now and another level. Amen. You're a saint now. So you got to quit living according to the world. This is why Paul is talking to them. This is how you used to walk. But now you're saved, you got to have a different walk. You got to walk according to the ways of the kingdom now. And see, the sad thing that you can see is somebody done got saved, but they still walking according to the course of the world. And see, and it's even sadder when you see somebody done got saved, but now they're trying to do the work of God, still living in the course of the world. Oh, my God. It cannot happen. It cannot happen because the work is a different work than what you think it is. We're thinking that, oh, it just let me usher, let me sing, let me greet, let me, I'm in the Lord's house, let me do this. Nah, but how is your walk? If you're walking, amen, according to the course of the world, then you can't come and do a holy work. Because his work is what? Holy. So you might be saved, but you're walking wrong. The Bible talks about, we're going to deal with three works today. Somebody say good works, dead works, and evil works. You got to wonder what kind of working I'm doing. Say dead works, good works, and evil works. We're going to deal with them today. Where we at here? We are in verse 2. Let's get to verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the what? The prince of the power of the air. Somebody say that's the enemy. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation or former behavior in times past in what? The lust of our flesh, the fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So he said, now that's how you used to live. Yeah. See, when you walk according to the world, you're fulfilling your own lusts, your own desires, according to your own mind, your own thinking and all of this. And see, this is what, you get in this word, you'll find out, I might be saved, but I ain't living right. If this is what Paul is talking about when he's writing to the church at Ephesus, he says, now walk worthy of the vocation in which you have been called. He says, you have been called to walk a new life now. Walk worthy of that. Walk worthy, that vocation is calling. Walk worthy of the calling unto which you have been called. So when you come out of the world, living for the world, you accept Jesus Christ as your life, you got a new calling on your life. And he's saying, walk worthy of the calling in which you have been called. Amen. We're going to see this. Now look at verse 4. Somebody say, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, have quickened us together with Christ. What? By grace ye are saved. So you say, Pastor, well, how did I get in on this thing? I'm here to tell you, it wasn't by any work that you done. So it was by, he says, while we were still yet sinners, it was by God's mercy. Somebody say mercy. See, you experienced grace when you came into salvation. So, Pastor, what was going on before I got saved? Mercy. God was being merciful unto you. Because he created you before you came out of your mother's womb. And you were walking to the way of the course of this world. And God, who is full of mercy, was merciful unto you. So what you're saying, Pastor, if he was merciful unto you, he's raising you up to be a holy people, to be what? Merciful to somebody else. And not only merciful, but what? Graceful to other people. Boy, there's a thing when you get so big and bad in things of God and look down your glasses and you don't know how it is to be merciful for someone that has been merciful unto you. Oh, boy, I hate it when I hear. I'm telling you, that's a hard word, hate. But I don't like it when somebody else talk about somebody else. I don't care how it is in a phone call, letter, email. I don't care how it is. How you got the nerve to judge somebody else when God has been merciful unto you? Well, I'm telling you, man, it burns the inside of me up. I'm telling it up because God has been so merciful to me and merciful unto you that we can't even form our, we shouldn't even form our lips to talk about somebody else. Particularly when it comes to a child of God that's holy. They look, they might not be practicing holiness, but if they have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, positionally they're holy, and God is trying to work something out in their life. And when you have bitter and anger and malice, you're a roadblock, and I'm here to tell you, God will move you out of the way. I don't care what you think you are and what kind of title you think you got and you think you holy. If you've been a stumbling block for a brother or a sister, if you got malice or offense, this is why I'm saying if you don't get the hurt in check, God gonna check you out. I'm telling you, that's the type of God that we serve. You're not going to hold up his work. You're not going to hold up his blessing. You're not going to be a stumbling block unto him. I don't know how I got there, but that wasn't what I was about to be talking about. But somebody needed to hear that. Somebody needed to hear that. So let's continue here. I want you to receive this. Verse 6. He says, and he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So when I was a sinner, when you was a sinner, it was the mercy of God that allowed you to receive the grace of God in which led you into salvation. Say, God has been merciful to me. And he's still being merciful to many of us. You know what I'm saying? He's still been merciful to us. Because think about grace. Grace is something that is given and not earned. Grace is what he gives us other than what we deserve. Mercy is what God did not give you what you did deserve. That's mercy. God said, I'm going to be merciful with you. I'm not going to give you what you deserve. Grace says, I'm going to give you something that you didn't deserve. And so we all, if you are saved today, you've experienced the mercy and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? Can I get an understanding? Now look here at verse 7. He says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is what? A what? Gift of God. So your salvation was a gift. Everything you get from God is a gift. Look at verse 9. Not of works. Somebody say, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you done anything to get saved in and of your own self, I went and knocked on 10 doors. I gave this much money, whatever it is. If you done that, that's according to works. But he said, no, you didn't get saved because of none of that. You got saved because he was merciful and he was gracious. And by your faith in his mercy and in his grace, your faith in him is how you believed, amen, through the confession of your mouth and the belief of your heart. And that's how you got saved. Amen. I'm telling you, you move from the slums into the sainthood. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about in the spirit realm. Now look here, verse 10. For we are, this is what I wanted to get to here, say, for we are his workmanship. Somebody say that. For we are his workmanship. Now this word workmanship here, it means that the thing that he has made. See, God made you, we are his workmanship. He made you. He formed you. He fashioned you. He said it to the prophet. He said, look, you were formed. You were ordained a prophet before you even entered into your mother's womb. He formed you. He fashioned you. So we are his workmanship. Somebody say, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Somebody say, unto good works. Oh, my God. So he said, now I formed you. I created you. In Christ Jesus, you are my workmanship. I've created you in Christ Jesus, but I've created you to good works. To good works. Somebody say, I want to do good works. I want to do good works. That's what you want to do. You want to do good works. Now look, he just didn't leave this good work. I want you to see what the good work is. He says, verse 10 again, follow me, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained. Say, before the beginning of time. Say, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. So we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he ordained from the beginning of time that we should walk in them. You got that? You received that? Now I would want to know, well, what did he do at the beginning of time? Because that's the good works. Look with me over in Ephesians 1 and 3 and 4. Ephesians 1, you're in the neighborhood. Ephesians 1, verse 3, you there? It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all what? Spiritual blessings in heavenly places in who? In Christ. Look at verse 4. According as he have chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should what? Be what? Be what? And without blame before him in love. So look at verse 10 again. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works, which God hath before ordained. Before ordained what? Good works, that we should walk in them. What's the good works? According he have chosen us, it's what he, the work that he done in the beginning. Before the foundation of the world, that we should what? Be holy and without blame before him and in love. What's the good works, Pastor? Say to be holy. Oh my God. That's the word. Before I can do any work, I got to be holy. That's the first work, is to be holy. He said, you have been created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And this has been preordained from the beginning of time. Then you go back over and say, well, what was going on at the beginning of time? He says, beginning of time, he put all this in place so that you can be holy. Let me tell you something. This is what everybody thinks salvation is about. It's about getting to heaven. Let me tell you, God is more interested in you being holy than getting to heaven. You need to hear this thing. That's the number one thing. God wants you to be holy. We're trying to get in this thing so we can make it into heaven. No, God say, look, ain't going to be no unholy people in heaven. God say, I did what I did, the works I want you to be. I need you to be holy. Oh, my God. See, and this ain't preaching nowadays in most places. I got to be holy. Yeah, that's right. Be holy. You can't, I said earlier, you can't go into the holy place or the holy of holies if you ain't holy. So why would God want to invite you into a place and you can't even get into the place? He made a way for you to get into the place, and it's through his son, Jesus. Jesus is the one. He said, look, man, you are my workmanship, created what? Through Jesus Christ. And so you got to receive Jesus Christ so you can be right in his sight. And if you're going to receive him, you're going to walk right. You're not going to walk according to this world. See, what folks got to understand, you got to start understanding if is my walk right? Is my life right? I'm not saying are you available to do work in the ministry, but am I holy? Can I do a holy thing for God? Well, Pastor, you just talking about ushering, Pastor. No, that's a holy occupation in God's house. You go back into the Old Testament, it talks about the porters that stood at the gates. They seen them coming. See, the porter, see, when you got somebody holy at the door, they know when the snake walked through the door. They know when the wolf crawls on up in the house. They know it because you got a holy man or woman of God at the door. They got to be holy. They got to be holy. So whatever, I told the praise and worship team on Friday night, I was encouraging them, you got to be mature and holy in this thing. This ain't for beginners. Praise and worship is not for beginners. It's not because, oh, I can sing. Nah, it ain't about you singing. It's about, are you holy? That's what I want everybody to get. Embrace the word. What's the word, Pastor? Holiness. Embrace the word. I want to be holy. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's the work. Embrace holiness. Embrace the work. That's why the fivefold ministry is in place. See, God done did a work on them to do a work on you so you can do his work. And his work is a holy work, and it must be by a holy people. I don't care if it's teaching the kids. I don't care if you're standing out on the parking lot trying to look. Now, it's a holy word. I'm thinking about Moses when he went up the tree. He told him, man, take off your shoes. For this place right here is what? This ground you stand on is holy ground. Holy ground. It's holy ground. Holy. Holy. So, Pastor, what is the work we're trying to do? Move people into holiness. To move people into living right, to walking right. It ain't about just trying to get the seats filled and get people into. You, look, we can do all type of tricks and games to get people in here. Now, we want people to come in here so that they can learn how to live a holy life. To live a holy life. To live a holy life. Now he says in verse 10, workmanship, we see the word created. We see good works. These are beneficial works, works that are well, deeds and labors and stuff that he says, which God has ordained. So what are you saying when God had ordained this from the beginning of time? What I'm saying to you is that God had predetermined that we all would lead holy lives. He predetermined that as we had gotten saved and came back to him, he predetermined that we will all live holy lives and be holy people. Amen. And we will walk to the course of a different course. Amen. We would denote ourselves to this course of life. This is why when we see over in Hebrews, when it says lay aside, you hear me say it all the time, lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily entangles you. And then it says, and then run with patience the race that is set before you, or the race that has been marked out for you. See, because this is the reason why I say lay aside every weight and sin, because you cannot run that race not being holy. And weights and sins will entangle you, and you can't run anything entangled. So you got to lay it aside. This is why over in the book of James, he says, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and with meekness, amen, receive thee in what? Grafted word, which is what? Able to save your soul. It's about holiness is what it's about. And so we want to do the work without doing the worship. See, because it's in worship that we come into the holy place. Worship brings us in. Worship, amen, George, you talked about it. Worship does a work on us. Oh, my God. when we're ready to worship God, then see, praise, we can do a praise. Praise could be given or received. Amen, given or received. But worship can be given and received. Praise will keep you out, but worship will bring you right on in. It'll bring you right on in. Amen. I got three more scriptures. I'm going to hit these and we're going to roll out of here. I want everyone to know that all of these messages are going to be online. They out there all the time. And I got better. I do the notes too. I put notes out there as well. All right. So you can go study to show yourself approved. A workman that need not be ashamed. Amen. You can do it. Study and show yourself approved to God. Okay. So let's think about this. I want to move to another place for the sake of time. Revelation chapter 2. Go to Revelation chapter 2. We're talking about embrace the works. Embrace the work. Somebody say embrace the work. Embrace the work. We talking about equipping the saints last week. Those gifts. Once you embrace the gifts, you're able to embrace the work. Because the gift's going to prepare you to embrace the work. The work is holiness and righteousness. The work of the ministry is holy work. Amen. It's holy work. Yeah. See, this ain't nothing just to be on your job and say, well, you know, I'm such down at the church. And then they look and say, hi, how they that down at the church? And they smoking, joking, drinking, listening to their thing, and they rocking on. They on what? Praise and work? What? What? At what church? See, you become a signpost for God. Folk going to say, I know I ain't going down there. They down there on what? On the praise and worship team? And they down here, they drinking they drinking in the evening? They listen to R&B during the week? They got there, I can hear them in the cubicle. They're jamming all week long. And then they going to go do what on Sunday? At what church? That's going to be one I ain't going to. They won't go there. And what I'm saying to you is this. Is that we're gonna win them through the holiness of our lives in the realm in which you live in. This ain't all about, well, let's just get everybody together and go out. Nah, it's about winning people in your realm. Winning people in your realm. Now, I want you to see something here. Revelation chapter 2. Are you there? I want you to begin at verse 1. He says, until the angel of the church of Ephesus write. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things said. Now, he's speaking to John the Revelator, is he not? Right. And who is he speaking to? The angel of the church at Ephesus. The angel denotes the leader, the pastor of the church at Ephesus. Now, what is Paul writing to over there in the Ephesians? He writes to the same people. I want you to see this. He says, until the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. That's the Lord. Look at verse 2. I know thy works. Hallelujah. I don't know if we got a time delay on this thing or what, but it says, I know the devil is a liar. Amen. He ain't shutting this word down. Amen. It says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. You hear that? Now, this is red letters. So this is the Lord. Amen. The Lord thy God speaking through John the Revelator. He says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou have tried them which say that they are apostles and are not, and found them to be liars. Now, I'm going to show you how doing the work of the ministry can get you out of balance. So many people are concerned about getting to work when you really need to get to worship. Because when you can, so you can get to a place of holiness in him, and then you'll be qualified to do the work, and you keep the work in balance. Not only will you keep the work in balance, the work will have a spirit of love upon it. So you can start doing the work of God, and you don't start spending time with God. Now you're starting to beat the people. Now you're starting to rule over the people. Now you forget that God was merciful to you and graceful to you. It's because you done lost your connection with the Lord. You hear what I'm saying? But you're doing the work. Now look here. He says, now I know your works. And he says, and your labor. See, a labor could be a toy for you, but the labor that he wants you to do, see, when you have the right work, you have the right labor. See, it'll be a labor of love. It won't be harsh. It won't be a grinding thing. I got to do this again. See, he said, and I know your patience. Look what he says here in verse 3. He says, and you have borne and have patience. And for my name's sake, you have labored and have not fainted. He said, you done went through some stuff and you have not fainted. He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left their what? First love. So he says, now I got something against you doing ministry. He says, yeah. He said, you're laboring. He says, I know your works. I know your labor. I know your patience. He says, you've done stuff. You done called the apostles out, this false and all of that. You done all of that. And it's been good. He said, but nevertheless, I hold something against thee because thou hast left what? Say, your first love. Your first love. Look what he goes on to say, verse 5. He says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent and do what? The first what? The first what? Well, I thought the works was going out there dealing with the false people and getting them. I thought that was the work, Pastor. I thought it was just getting out there. No, that ain't the first work. He said, now determine where you're falling at and repent and return to the first works. Now look what he says here. He says, or else I will come unto thee quickly when you're doing all your work. Come on now. Give me another mic, brother. Amen. The barriers might be dead in this thing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm intermittent. I don't know if y'all can hear it, but I sure can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. This sounds strong, man. I got a battery issue or what's going on? It's intermittent for some reason. Hallelujah. Okay, it says in verse 5, it says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent. And somebody saying, do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Now, it's interesting here. Look at verse 4. He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. And what he is saying here, to give you some understanding, what he's saying is the first love is holiness, mother, and we cannot be holy without the Holy One, and his name is Jesus Christ. He preordained us. I'm saying more than anything to go out and do the work of the ministry, to do the physical works, he wants us to be holy. So he says, now return to your first works. Return. And so what we must understand, the first work is first worship. And what I'm saying unto you, that you got to worship before you do the work.
You got to worship before you do the work. So, Sister Nene, we've been talking about we're going to get the church together to go out and put out door hangers. I know door hangers is just an innocent thing. No, you got to be holy to go put out a door hanger on behalf of God. You got to worship, amen. You got to. This is why I'm teaching what I'm teaching now, because this ain't just about getting a few warm butt bodies and doing the teaching and go out. Now, this is a lifestyle of worship. This ain't just being worshiped, just worshiping God on the day that we go out, but this is a lifestyle of holiness and righteousness. Just like Pastor Angela said earlier that she gave the testimony, we may be going out to put on a door hanger, but God got somebody there that need to be healed and delivered. And they need prayer. Now, just think about you coming to do the work of God, but you ain't did worship yet. You see what I'm saying? You ain't holy. You going out in your flesh. You go out in your flesh. Somebody say, well, can you lay a pray for me? I got a lump on my breast. Can you pray for me? And your eyes get big and you start looking around. Where the pastor at? Where the pastor at? Nuh-uh. You pray. See, you don't want to have a form of godliness and what? Deny the power thereof. And the Bible said there were going to be times and days that people, religious folk, got the form of godliness. I'm serving at church. I'm even bringing my tithe. I go to church every other Sunday. I do all of that. But now it's time for you to go out here and do the real deal. See if you got the stuff that sticks now. And see, that's when you understand, I ain't did no worship. Why am I trying to do the work? You might get by with it in here, but you ain't going to get by with it out there. Because there's a real devil out there. There's a real disease out there. There's real foolishness and craziness out there. But when you understand worship, so he says, now return to your first work. What's my first work, Pastor? To worship the Lord thy God. He said, you are the workman. He said, not only... did he speak to him, but he spoke to him in the concept of love. Let me read that to you again. You don't need to turn back there. This is how he said it right here. He said it this way right here. I'm going to find it. He says, again, the first work is to be, it says, to you to be holy and without blame before him in love. You hear that? To be holy and without blame before him in love. That's the first works. That's from the very foundation. He predestined that for you to be holy and blameless, and with love. Amen? And so our labor will be a labor of love when we go out after we done our worship. When we've spent time with God, we're eager to go out to do the works of the Lord. Amen? To go out as holy people, to do holy things for a holy God, that other people might become holy, that other people may come out and we give the mercy and the grace and the love of God unto the people of God. Do you see this? So do you see? Okay, we're going to go one more place, and we're going to close down. Go to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Are y'all all right? Everybody okay? Y'all okay? You okay over here? Okay. You okay over there, George? Brother Eric, you okay over there? Okay. All right. Y'all okay? You okay? Okay. I know a little baby sleep, but you okay? Okay. Won't y'all be okay? Amen. Because you know when I don't want to go over your head, and it's kind of like, love, pal. We just numb, pal. We ain't receiving in there. We just numb. Now you need to receive this because we want to embrace the work. The work is holiness. It's holiness, and so the fivefold ministry equips us to do the work. But the work is a holy work, but they equip us to help us to become holy, mother, not just to make it to heaven. Thank God. See, but if you ain't holy, you ain't going to heaven. And we get the work all mixed up. The work is to be holy, man. It's to be holy. I want to be holy. That's why he quickens us with his word. It's to make us holy. This word comes to make us holy, to get us in that holy place. Are you at Hebrews chapter 6? Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Are you there? And it reads, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto what? Somebody say perfection. So the same word, perfecting the saints. He says, now, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. And I want to say this to you. I want you to understand this. before you can mature in the things of God, you got to understand the principles of the doctrines of Christ. It's the foundation. What are you talking about, Pastor? I want you to continue to follow along. He says, therefore, leaving the principles. So you can't leave something that you have not learned. And you're going to realize when you learn it, you never really leave it. You just move from it. But it is your foundation. Amen. It remains your foundation. It says, therefore, leaving the principles or the beginning of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on, somebody say, to perfection. Not laying again, here they go, the foundation of the repentance from dead works. That's the first one. The second one, and of faith towards God. The third one, of the doctrine of baptisms. You see that? The fourth one, and on the laying on of hands. The fifth one, and of the resurrection of the dead. And the sixth one, and of the eternal judgment. So he says that you got to know these doctrines before you can move on to perfection, move on to maturity. See, you can't be holy without knowing these things here. You got to be established in some things. You got to understand the doctrines of baptism. You got to understand what's going to happen to me when I die. You got to understand the resurrection, eternal judgment. You want to understand those things. You got to understand faith towards God and repentance from dead works. Amen. Now, it's interesting here because we're talking about embrace the work. Now, look what he says. He says, now, if you're going to leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ and let us go on to perfection or maturity, he says, not laying again the foundation of what? Repentance from dead works. Somebody say repentance from dead works. Think about this. Repentance from dead works, then faith towards God. Repentance is what? I need to change my mind, right? So before I got saved, guess what kind of works I was doing? Dead works. So he said the first thing you do when you get into God, you got to repent of your dead works. And then the flip side of the coin is you got to have faith in God. So I got to repent. If I'm going to move towards perfection, holiness and righteousness in God, I got to repent of my dead works, the works I was doing, amen, before I got saved. Then I got to have faith towards God, amen. Somebody say faith towards God. But I got to repent of my dead works. Somebody say repent of my dead works. Your dead works, you can be saved and still do dead works. Dead works is living a course of life that does not line up with his word. I'm talking about living a holy and a righteous life. So everything you do, and even though you might be saved, but you're walking to the ways of this world, that's dead. All of that is dead works. It's not a life of holiness. It's holiness is good works. Amen. It's good works. And see, and here go the telltale sign. See, when you're saved and not doing what God has told you to do, it's a sign that you're not worshiping him. What you saying, Pastor? You cannot be before a holy God and crying out to him and living in sin. I'm here to tell you, you have been deceived. Your answer, your prayers will not get answered. What kind of God is going to answer a prayer of someone that's not living according to his will? I ain't talking about ignorance. I'm talking about knowing that I'm not living right, but I'm laying before God and say, God, I need you to move this. I need you to do that. I need you to do that. God says, repent from where you have fallen and return to your first love. See, you have become the God of your own life, thinking that you can do what you want to do and be the dog wagging the tail. You know what I mean? Or the tail wagging the dog. What God is saying is, do you think I'm a genie in the bottle? Do you think I'm the tail on a dog? Amen. That you can just wag me any way you want to, any how you want to. He says, repent of those dead works and have faith in God. Oh my God. That's dead works. So you cannot be living not right and thinking that God is blessing you, thinking that his hand is on you. I'm telling you, man, we done got duped into this thing. With somebody done duped us and fooled us and said, oh, it's okay to just live right some of the time. Oh, we fall down and we get up. We fall down. Nah, you need to stay down. You hear what I'm saying? You need to stay down and stay in him. Saint is just a sinner who fell down and got up. I'm here to tell you, don't you be rolling on everything that you're hearing. God called us to be holy. He ain't called us to be sometimes, well, I'm going to be this week, that week, I'm in this week, I'm out that week, I'm going to do what I want this week, I'm going to be with God and the following week. Nah, that is witchcraft. That's the children of disobedience. Amen. You're living according to the prince of the power of the air, according to your own senses, your own mind, what you want to do, according to your own soul, man. See, I surrender all to Jesus, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. I got to surrender it all. All of it. All of it. All of it. All of it. So we see dead works. Good works is being holy. Dead works are works that cause death or condemnation, that they have no vitality or no life to them. Come on up, minister. And then the last work I want to deal with is evil work. You don't need to turn there. It's there. I want you to listen with your spirit, with your heart. I want you to listen to this. This is 2 Timothy 4:14 through 18. I want you to listen to this. It says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. You hear that? When you do evil works, you will get rewarded according to that word. He said, of whom be thou aware also? For he have greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me. This is Paul. But all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is how James says, for where there is envying and strife, there is confusion in every evil work. What you saying, Pastor? Not only do we have to be aware of dead works, but evil works. But the Bible says if you are holy, he'll keep you. He'll deliver you from every evil work. And those that are producing evil work, he says, God will reward them for their evil works. What you saying, Pastor? You don't want to have dead works. What's dead works? A life that you're saved, but you're living disobedient to God's very best for your life. You know, we can do all of this stuff in the flesh. We can sing, we can play the drums, we can do the keyboards, we can do all of this ministry. We can serve, we can do it all. All of you have gifts and talents. You can do it. The Lord showed me something. He showed me the filthiness of the house of God. And I'm not putting anybody up and putting anybody down. He showed me the filthiness of the house of God. We done got to the point, and I've shared this, me and Brother Eric, we talked about this, so I'm not talking, trying to put him out there, anything like that. It's shame that we got to go to a house of God. In many cases, the musicians are getting more than the pastor. I'm going to tell you why. Because they haven't embraced the word. I'm not talking about my brother. I'm just talking about, y'all need to hear, I'm talking about the church. And I'm talking from an apostolic authority. for governing, setting the house right and the things in the house right. But that's one area that is wrong in the house of God. Why can't they come in here and do the work that everybody else do for the love of God? What makes the musician or the lead minister, whatever it may be, what makes them special than anyone else sitting down here? Huh? Matter of fact, if you read the word says that you should, if you're going to get any gift for anything, you should give it to the fivefold ministry. For they muzzle like the ox. They labor over the word. See, music can only do so much for you. You hear what I'm saying? But it's the word that quicken you. It's this word that's alive, that when it's spoken and declared, it can come in your life and it does a work in your life. The Lord showed me that the house of God in many cases, not just as an example, is filthy because we have embraced the wrong word. And many times, most of the musicians ain't even living right. I done worked with them. I done had, look, at least two worship leaders that have been dependent on drugs. I know this to be true and can play all day long. But they won't holy. And I'm here to tell you, you don't want to skip holiness. You hear what I'm saying? I'd rather have a few holy people than a whole house of unholy folk. Listen to what I'm saying. We're going to have people that won't get saved and stuff like that. I ain't talking about folks just coming to the Lord. I'm talking about folks that know they saved and they have chosen to live the sick, soaking sour, and live how they're going to live in the house of God. I'm here to tell you, God raising up an army. He's raising up some voices. I'm telling you, man. Why don't you say, well, the minister, he got to live. That's his livelihood. No. Everybody else got to live. Y'all need to hear this. What I'm talking about. Most of the people need to repent. It's the spirit. Spirit. It's the spirit. This is how it says. It says over in Hosea, over in the Old Testament, it says it this way. Your house is pounded up and the house of the Lord lays in ruin, but your house looking good. You know, some preachers struggle. I know this to be a fact. I talk to preachers. They struggle because they got to pay their musicians and they got to pay the lead person. I got to pay all these folks to do ministry. I thought this is their first love. No, they have left their first love, and that has become their first love. You hear what I'm saying? What you saying, Pastor? Wherever we're serving in the house of God, if it's back there, if it's here, if it's leading worship or whatever, our first worship or our first work must be first worship. And that's sitting at his feet. And he'll change our heart about some situations. He'll change our heart. I'm going to finish. This is how Jesus said. The Bible says, over in the book of John, don't turn there, it's there. I'm going to say I'm closing. So the disciples went to get something to eat. And they came back and they said, well, I wonder where he got something to eat from. And Jesus says, my meat is to do the will of the Father and to finish his work. He said, that's my meat. That's what I'm feeding on. That's why I'm here. Why do you come to church today? Why do you serve God? What is your meat? Is it the money? Is it the tag or the title? What is it? Now, Jesus says, my meat is to do the what? The will of the Father. And to do what? Finish his word. If that is his will, and we are his workmanship in Christ Jesus, don't you think that need to be our will? Oh, I know I'm right. You ain't got to be, look, you ain't got to convince me, shake your head or whatever. I know this is right because this is the word of the Lord. So what we supposed to be doing, Pastor? The will of God. My meat is to do the will of God and finish the work. That's why he give the fivefold ministry to straighten out what's crooked, to make straight what's bent, to straighten it out. He gives the apostle to govern and to tell folk. Now this is the, now the he sets the people in order and he sets the house in order. As I always say, tricks is for kids. We're not kids. We're men and women of God. I'm telling you, when the house of God gets in its rightful order and in its rightful place, if people will yield and say, I'm going to do what God tell me to, God will bless you more than you ever blessed, more than you will ever know. He will bless you. Can we stand to our feet this day?